This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa ala kulli man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin. Allahumma allimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima'allamtana wa zidna ilma. Subhanaka Allahumma la ilma lana illa ma'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakeem. Wa ba'd. Respected brothers and those sisters and also some brothers listening at home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it's a great honor and privilege for all of us today that we are participating in, as it was just mentioned, the 19th graduation ceremony of Jami'a Ulum al-Quran. The graduation ceremony includes the Hifz al-Quran completion, as well as the Sahih al-Bukhari completion. And alhamdulillah, for many, many years, we had our teacher, Shaykh al-Hadith, Hadrat Mawlana Yusuf Mutala, rahimahullah ta'ala, who used to come here on a yearly basis. The last time he attended was in 2019. I remember, because I actually gave a talk in that 2019 and his car just came and I was telling the brother here who was in charge that just let me know when he comes 2-3 minutes before. I don't want him to hear me. So he informed me 5 minutes before that the car's here, and I quickly completed my talk and just met him outside and he came in. Since 2003, the first graduation ceremony here was in 2003. That makes it 19 years. And he attended from 2003 all the way to 2019. And then 2020-21 was 2 years lost in COVID, alhamdulillah. But we had some ceremony here, very informal. And now once again, we are having a formal graduation ceremony. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from all of us, for all of you taking your time out today on a Sunday, and make dua for Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Mutala, rahimahullah ta'ala, who passed away in that 2019, later that year. May Allah elevate his status and grant him the best of rewards in the akhirah. Ameen. And alhamdulillah, before the graduation ceremonies, we used to have, somebody was mentioning the other day, that we used to have a lot of people coming before, back in the day, for Maktab Jalsas. I don't know if people remember. The old masjid, I grew up here as well. I remember there was a big mimbar here, red and then green, and I don't know what it turned into. I was 5 years old when I read some Quran. My father used to make sure I go to the third step or something. We used to have those Maktab Jalsas here. Alhamdulillah, this place has been, this masjid, for those people who are probably just recently born, who don't know the pre-iPhone era. There's a lot of people who don't know how used to be in the world to live without a smartphone. And my son included. They don't know how that life was. Sometimes I take him to the, outside and show him a red telephone box. That sometimes we used to take our car and we used to park here and then put a 10p coin to call. We used to have a Maktab Jalsa here, and mashallah, lots of people used to come before the Khatam Bukhari. And actually, I was mentioning that inshallah, we should do one for those who are in charge of the Maktab. Then maybe once another, when all children used to come and read the Quran and Nasheed and talks, and they used to do this mukalama conversations, and it was quite good. And they used to get the first prize, and the second prize, and the third prize. And, mashallah, people who were sitting in the gathering, most of them have all passed away, rahimahumullah ta'ala. I remember, you read a Quran or a Nasheed and straight away a £10 note comes. I remember one pound coin, £1 was like £20 in those days, in the 1980s and 90s. I remember I used to bring a bag because they used to give me lots of, take a small bag out and £2 and £1 and £5. £5 was, I remember there was one brother who used to always give a £10 note to me. And they all passed away, rahimahumullah ta'ala. My respected father, Hazrat Mawlana Adam Sahab, hafizahullah ta'ala, he's been here since the 1976, which is approximately how many years? 46 years, the old masjid. So for those who are new here, it's 46 years on the same place. You know, in Arabic, in Muhaddithin, they have this term. They say, Mulhiqul Ahfadi Bil Ajdad. This is a person, a Muhaddith. If there was a Muhaddith, a scholar of Hadith, who used to teach three generations, the father, the son, and the grandson, they were called Mulhiqul Ahfadi Bil Ajdad. This person has, you know, joined the grandson with the grandfather. He's taught the grandfather, he's taught the son and the grandson. So I think my father is probably, there may be, I'm sure, in Leicester, there may be so many people, let me say, maybe some families where the grandfather, as well as the son, as well as the grandson, have all studied here or by him or with somebody here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a healthy life and elevate his status and give him well-being. He's been here for a long, long time, mashallah. Very weak nowadays, but inshallah, Allah give him afiyah. Also, all the students and teachers here, I would like to also mention, and also graduates. I asked yesterday, there's 152 graduates since 2003 till including today. How many are you today? Seven? Five. There were six in your class, no? There were six, okay. So there's five, including the five today, 152 students who've graduated from here. MashaAllah, in different works. I would like to, you know, congratulate all of them, and may Allah reward them and accept them. And they are doing, like it was just mentioned, they are working in different fields. Some are teachers in schools, some are, you know, teaching in madrasa, and some are, like here as well, MashaAllah, the teachers who teach in the Darul Uloom here on a daily basis. We have the senior teachers who, mashallah, you know, have been teaching since the beginning. Some have taught and then they've left and then they've come back. But we have the senior teachers. And mashallah, Maulana Imran Saab, the principal here, he's been putting in the effort since 2003 and this is his food and drink. And he puts a lot of effort. May Allah accept his efforts as well and reward him. He's quite ill as well nowadays. Sometimes puts a lot of energy. I tell him sometimes take it easy, you know. He loves this whole madrasa where he wants to just do everything. So since 2003, we've had 152 graduates, mashallah. And they're working in different fields. And some are teachers here, and some are teaching. I remember when I was teaching in the beginning, I used to feel so, you know, that I was the youngest teacher. Because most of the teachers, the senior teachers, mashallah, we have a teacher here, Maulana Mahbub Saab, he's a teacher here. I think I saw Maulana Shabir somewhere as well. But these are all the senior teachers. Maulana Imtiaz, who's the Imam of Masjid Ali, he teaches in the Darul Uloom here. We've had Maulana Dawood Saab from Masjid Umar. And even Maulana Sindhi taught and then he left. But a lot of the Imams of different masajid, they come and teach one lesson, one kitab. Masjid Ali, Imam Maulana Imtiaz. And then all these are senior teachers. Maulana Idris Saab, he teaches here as well. These are all the senior teachers. But now half of the teachers are those who've graduated here. So like I was saying, that I used to think that in that time I used to be happy, I used to be the youngest teacher. But now half the teachers are all those who've studied by us. Even though they look older than me, but that's another. But they, mashallah, they have been studying here, they graduated from here, and now they teach here. And they themselves have become like senior teachers. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from everybody. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. I just want to briefly I wanted to talk about something in this introduction, went to 10, 15 minutes, but this is the completion of Sahih al-Bukhari and completion of the Quran. What is the completion of Sahih al-Bukhari? Completion of Sahih al-Bukhari is the last hadith, which inshallah the students will recite and the dars will take place. Every year, everyone has probably memorized Kalimatani, Habibatani, La Rahman. But there's a first hadith as well, and I want to talk about just that first hadith briefly. The first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, with which we start the book, we commence the year. It's a famous hadith called Hadith al-Niyyah. Lots of people know about that hadith. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. I want to talk about this, and practically into our lives. some really food for thought, some things I really want myself and you, all of us, to think about with this hadith in mind, really. There's some things I might say might seem a bit straightforward or frank or odd or different or whatever you want to say, and I apologize from now. But this hadith is the famous first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari. Many ulama said this hadith is one third of deen. Some said it's half of deen and religion. What's the translation? Actions are according to the niyyah, intention. And then the hadith says, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى وَإِنَّمَا لِمْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. Every person, whatever he intends, gets that. If you intend good with an action, you get good. If you intend bad, you get bad. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَمَنْ كَانَ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. They were making hijrah in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina, migration. So he said, whoever is indeed with the intention is for Allah and His Messenger, then it will be for Allah and His Messenger and you shall get the reward. But if you're doing hijrah and you have some other ulterior motive that you want to marry a woman down there in Medina or you want to do something else, then that's what you'll get. There's no reward. So that's the hadith anyway. Now, Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala wa radiya anhu, he started his book with this hadith. Some of the early scholars used to say that we would like that every book in Islam should start with this. Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a famous Arba'in Nawawi, small collection of hadith, which students, when they first study hadith, he brought this as well. You know, Arba'in Nawawi has 42 hadiths. Arba'een are like 40 hadith compilations, just for students. But there's 42, it's not 40. And you know, Allahu A'lam, there's many reasons mentioned, but one of the things that came into mind, that why there's 42, is because the first and the last is not really part of the 40. The first is like an introduction. Correct your intention. Now you're about to start to study 40 hadiths. And the last one is about istighfar. Always when you finish something good, we perform salah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, what do we say? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. So last hadith is about istighfar. So this, even Riyadu Salihin, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah starts with this hadith, Babul Ikhlas. This hadith, it's called the hadith al-Niyya. It's about sincerity of intention. You know, we always hear this term, ikhlas, ikhlas, ikhlas. What is ikhlas? What does it mean? It's from the word in Arabic, akhlasa yukhlisu. To purify something, to make something sincere, to purify something. Ikhlasun niyyati. It's actually full word, ikhlasun niyya. Purifying the intention, making it pure. You know, you take a milk bottle which is pure milk, or you have contaminated. Ikhlasun niyya means intention is pure, it's not contaminated. This is what this hadith is talking about. That making a person, before they do anything, make their intention absolutely pure, sincere, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no contamination, nothing from outside. Whatever they do it for the sake of Allah. Now let's put this practically in our lives. We'll start with the students. This is why we studied Sahih al-Bukhari. First hadith Imam al-Bukhari reminded us in the beginning of the year. And all the other students in the fifth year, and the fourth year, and the third year, and any students, wherever they're studying. Why are you studying? You see, Islam is all about intention. This is ikhlasun niyyah, is to bring the intention in the mind. Istihdar. So the question is, why did you study? Why are you enrolling into a madrasa? Why are you studying to become a hafiz of the Quran? Why? This is what this hadith is telling us. Why is a person studying? Even the Quran talks about ikhlas. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. We've not been commanded. They have not been commanded except to make their religion pure. Which means the niyyah inside is khalis. It's pure. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said to Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, أَخْلِصْ دِينَكَ يَكْفِيكَ الْعَمَلُ الْقَلِيلِ. Make your intention inside pure. Uncontaminated. Even a small action will be enough for you. You see, according to Allah, before I carry on to go to the students, according to Allah, it's not quantity that matters. This is why the last hadith they're going to read today, it's about What is it about? Wazan, weight. Weight is quality. That's why Imam al-Bukhari mentioned two statements, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. You recite these, they make your scale weight because weighty. In other words, and the last chapter is about weight. It's about weight of an action. That's the quality of an action. And if you ask Imam al-Bukhari, how do you bring the quality? Then he says, look at the first hadith of the book, which is niyyah. Niyyah brings about the weight, and that's how he connected the beginning and the end as well. And the Quran says, I think one of the children just recited from Surah Al-Mulk, هو الذي خلق الموت والحياة. Allah is the one who created death and, are you awake everybody? Death and life. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, so that he tests you, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Who is the best in the action? Whose action is more better quality? Four rak'ah in quality is better than 20 rak'ah without that quality. Less action, but quality. And quality comes with inside khushu and sincerity. You give someone £1 with sincerity in charity, that is far better than £1 million. Allah doesn't look at 1 million. Allah looks at £1. Allah doesn't look at a million or a pound. Allah looks at the quality and the intention behind it. It's not about how much. And this is what this hadith is talking about. Ikhlasun niyyah. Ayyukum ahsanu amala. He didn't say ayyukum aktharu amala. Not the one who carries out a lot of actions. No, the one who is the best in his action. So this is what this hadith is. Ikhlas. What is ikhlas? Making sure everything we do it with only one intention in mind. Only for the sake of Allah. Not for fame, not for likes, not for popularity, not for wah-wah. Yeah, I think that's Gujarati or Urdu, I don't know which language that is. But not for praise, not for mashallah, mashallah, Shaykh, Hazrat, Allama, Mufti, whatever. Not for that. Mashallah, you graduated. Yes, yes, you're amazing. Not for that. It's not for popularity, fame, or to make people happy. One of the worst sins that a person can commit is to do something to make people happy, and not for the sake of Allah. This is ikhlasun niyyah. This is what this hadith is talking about. لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to worry about praise and criticism of the people. And this basically is you know, this ikhlas. Ikhlas is not mustahab, brothers. Ikhlas is what? It's fard ayn. You know, internally our deen has certain matters which are fard ayn, like externally. But because it's internal, we don't pay attention to it. What's the opposite of ikhlasu niyyah? We said this hadith is talking about ikhlas, purity, sincerity, sincerity of intention. What's the opposite of that? Insincerity. Or riya, showing off. Ostentation. That's the opposite. This riya, ostentation, is as haram, as sinful as committing zina, drinking alcohol, killing someone, murdering someone, stealing. It's exactly the same. The only difference is one is visible, it's external, one is internal. It's to do with the niya. No one knows except our own selves in our hearts. That's why when we talk about this, we can't judge anyone. If someone's doing something, I say, yes, you're doing it, your intention is bad, I know. That's not for us to know. It's between each person and Allah. No one can decide. External sins we can see. Someone's drinking alcohol. Yeah, we can see. We're not going to say, oh no, maybe you're not drinking alcohol. Maybe my eyes are bad. No. Yeah, you are drinking alcohol. Externally you can see. But internally, there may be signs, but we can't judge. But because these things internally, ikhlas is fard ayn. Riya is from the kabair. Showing off is from the kabair. Ikhlas is as fard as performing hajj. Fasting, zakat, hajj. But we don't give it importance because it's hidden in the hearts. Neither we see it, neither others see it. Salah will give it importance because I can see I'm praying. Physically, I can feel I'm praying. My children are seeing I'm praying. My friends are seeing, people are seeing I'm praying. But what's inside the heart, the sincerity, is it there or not? Nobody can see, so we don't give it importance. We don't see the sin of riya because it's hidden in the heart. So anyway, this ikhlas, like I said, it's very important. We can put it initially in two branches, in ibadat and in adat. And I want to just talk about briefly these two aspects. In ibadat, in worship, and in normal worldly activities. So ikhlas in number one. These are two main broad categories. We'll talk about both of these two. And then we talk about the students. This, in ibadah. What's ibadah? All the righteous and good deeds, whether it's farad, whether it's sunnah, whether it's mustahab, whether it's, nafil, all good Islamic acts, these are called ibadat. So we're going to talk about ikhlas in ibadat, and then we'll get into ikhlas in adah, just normal worldly things like eating food and drink and, just sleeping, etc. Ikhlas in ibadah, anything to do with deen. What is the ruling? The ruling is, it is absolutely fard to have a correct right intention. If someone does not have the right intention, not just that they don't get reward for that action, it is haram, it is sinful, and the person will be punished in this by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a major sin. If it's to do with deen, it's a major sin not to have the right, correct intention in the mind and the heart. Doing it for the sake of the public, doing it for the sake of people around us, doing it for the sake of praise, doing it for the sake of, mashallahs and praise and people like you and, all of this. It's a major sin. And our early scholars used to go through, years of training and tarbiyah to bring them this in their hearts. It's not easy. They used to work. You have to work on the heart. It takes 10, 12, 13 years sometimes. Imagine everything. You just become absolutely absolved or not, away from the makhluk, from the creation. You know, when someone praises you, it doesn't matter. Someone criticizes you, it doesn't matter. You don't care about the people. It's as though you're living in a desert on an island. There's nobody else there. You give an amazing talk down there. Nobody's there to say anything. And this is why this, in ibadah, anything to do with deen. Anything to do with deen. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are according to intention. If you have a right intention to please Allah, for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, for akhirah. And here I'll just mention that, this here, what does it mean for the sake of Allah? For the sake of Allah is that we don't want anything from the creation. We don't want praise, we don't want anything. Only to please Allah. Now, some of the scholars said that, when we say to please Allah, what about for Jannah? What about for Jannah? Now, there were some early Sufi scholars, they used to say that even not for Jannah, only for Allah. This is like, I'm doing something because Allah said you'll get, honey and rivers of, milk, and you'll get this, and in Jannah you'll get وَطَلْحٍ مَمْدُودٍ وَمَا, you'll get this, and حُرْعِينَ, and all of these things. This is like you're trying to pray salah and do all these good ibadah things for all these things. But other scholars later said, and one of my teachers, Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafidhahullah, he mentions that, look, the sunnah teaches you that it's not a problem. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka ridaka wal jannah. Oh Allah, I ask you jannah and your pleasure and jannah. And these things, they're not a real objective. When you have your children, you say, okay, if you learn, I'll give you sweets. If you do this, I'll give you that. This Jannah and, all these ni'mah, that's just to, we're like children. It's just to entice us. Really, it's the pleasure of Allah. But ikhlas, the meaning of it is that I have an intention that I am doing this, I'm reciting Quran, or I am performing salah, only for the sake of Allah, only for the pleasure of Allah, which also includes not a problem, I want Jannah, I want all the ni'mah and all the good things that Allah will give me in the akhirah. That's also part of it, it's not a problem. It's still part of ikhlas. The hadith says that man sama ramadana imanan wahtisaban. Whoever fasts in Ramadan with iman and with the hope of getting reward, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. So you can make an intention of wanting Jannah and all the ni'mah in Jannah. That's part of ikhlas as well, not a problem. So, this is all Islamic activities, all ibadah, farad, sunnah, mustahab, makruh, all the good ibadah, everything. We make intention only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, studying is also part of Islam. It's part of ibadah. This is why Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah brought this hadith right in the beginning of Sahih al-Bukhari. Innama al-a'malu bin-niyat. You're starting, embarking on this journey of studying this book. Make your intention clear, sound, pure, sincere. Are you studying because, mashallah, then you'll get a day here and mashallah, you'll be called an alim? No. That's a bad intention. If anyone thinks that they study because they want to be called alim, our great scholars never call themselves alim, ever. Major, major scholars, until they passed away, they were called talibu ilmin, students. We are still students. There's no such a thing as alim as a title, to be honest. And I always mention this to the students as well. Alim is ism fa'il. Like janne wala, I'm a big knowledgeable person. It's like it's boasting. You can say, alhamdulillah, I learned this. But alim, like I know so much. Like it becomes ism fa'il. Quality. Like salih, abid. I'm an abid, mashallah, abid. All the abids are coming. Like you can say, alhamdulillah, Allah granted me the tawfiq to worship. But I'm not the great abid of the world. So not for that. If anyone studies to the point that there's hidden things, some people look at some popular scholars. Oh, I want to study because I want to become popular like this. This is haram, sinful. Your intention is contaminated. Oh, mashallah, everyone's, look how much love and respect he's got. I want to get there one day. That is a bad shaitan, you know. Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafizahullah says in one of his books that shaitan's attack on ikhlas is in two places the most. One, those connected to deen, students, scholars, teachers. And number two, those who give in charity, charitable projects. These are the two major places where shaitan attacks a person's niyyah. Reason being is because here people are praising you. MashaAllah, come in, Hazrat, Mawlana, this, Sheikh, Mufti, whatever, you know. And all of this I am saying to myself first and foremost. This is for me as well. And rather, it's actually first only for me, and then maybe you guys. This, we all have to think our own selves, our connection, our heart connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you want to study? Because you want to be a celebrity. Be a popular social media account with 5 billion followers or million followers or Facebooks. Yeah, mashallah, mashallah, you know, I'm going to be so popular. Everybody will think I'm a great sheikh. I'll dress like one as well, and mashallah, and I'll make sure that I'll look the part, and then everybody will call me here and there, and I'll be traveling the world. If that's the reason for studying, Allah will not take this person anywhere. There will be somewhere you'll fall down. Because intention is not khalis. It's not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for having big titles. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith, "Man talab al-ilma liyumariya bihi sufaha." Whoever seeks knowledge so that you argue with the foolish people. "Aw liyubahiya bihi al-ulama." Oh, because you want to challenge the people of knowledge. Yes, I can have a debate with you and let me go and ask what people are. Who do these guys think they are? I've got the knowledge. أَوْ لِيَصْرِفَ بِهِ وُجُوهَ النَّاسِ. So that, or if a person seeks knowledge to capture public attention, so people start looking at you and giving you that status and respect in the community. أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ النَّارِ. Allah will cast this person into hellfire. These hadiths are quite dangerous. You know, that's why it's really important. You know, there's a famous hadith. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, three people will be brought. One person, martyred. Rajulun ustushhid. Allah will say, what did you do? He said, oh, qataltu. Oh Allah, I fought in your path, in your way. Until I became a martyr. Allah will say, kadabta, you are lying. Walakinnaka qatalta li an yuqal jari. You fought because so that people call you brave man. وَقَدْ قِيلَ. It was said, finish. You've got all the praise, you got it. Here, there's nothing for you, bro. And he'll be thrown. فَأُلْقِيَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ. And look at the second person. رَجُلٌ تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. A person sought knowledge and taught it. وَقَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ. He recited Quran. And he will say, Allah, I did this. Allah said, كَذَبْتَ. You lied. You ta'allamta al-ilma liyuqala 'alim. This is a hadith in Sahih Muslim. You learnt knowledge so that people call you 'alim. Nothing for you here. And the other one, you studied Quran liyuqal qari. If you want to study Quran because people call you qari, qari sahab, 'alim sahab, qari sahab, mufti sahab. Faqad qil, it was said in the dunya, ulqiya fi an-nar, put him into hellfire. May Allah protect us all. Ameen. These scary hadiths. And the third one was the man, again, wassa'allahu alayhi. Allah gave him a lot of money. He spent in this charity and this orphanage and that orphanage and here and there and mashallah. Allah will say nothing for you. Kadhabta, you are lying. You only spend money so that people call you Jawad, a very generous person. Waqad qila, it was said in the dunya, everyone said, mashallah, this brother here is very wealthy and mashallah, he's very, very generous. That's it, done in the dunya. In akhirah, there's nothing here for you. So therefore, the real correct intention for students studying, why we're studying, first and foremost, is for what? To act upon the knowledge of our own selves. I am studying for amal. I am studying for amal. I want to bring this knowledge into my life. And this is the main. And then, inshallah, if Allah grants me the ability for da'wah, for preaching, for teaching, for conveying, tadrees, ta'aleem, tabligh, all of this, writing. But for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the scholars as well, very, very important. After students, scholars and ulama and du'at, people who are serving the deen, writing about the deen, propagating the deen, teaching the deen, shaitan has a great attack on them. And the reason is because this is a place where it's easy to fall into that, because people give you the praise. And this is why sometimes I tell the people, just take it easy. Why are you putting the scholars into a test? Why are you, you know, doing so much? Because it's a test. The scholars are also human beings. Everyone's opening doors for you and doing this for you and doing that for you. And sometimes, yeah, if someone reaches that ultimate level, when they, you know, especially when they're old age, etc., then it isn't, they're in a different world. But generally, it's very difficult. If you're doing that, then you have to go through that test. But this is the point. Why are you serving the deen for the sake of Allah? You're writing, I don't, mashallah. You gave a, you know, people like to learn how to talk. Learn how to talk and give a bayan, students, so that people understand you better. Musa alayhi salam asked for Allah to send his brother, what's his name? Harun alayhi salatu wa salam, with him. Ushdud bihi azri. Be eloquent in your speech, but the intention is that so that your information, your teaching, people learn, people, you convey it better. Not because, mashallah, he's an amazing speaker. If I came here, this is first and foremost, like I said, for me. If I'm doing a talk today here with this intention, and this is why this has to be regularly. My teacher, Mufti Taqi Uthmani, hafizahullah, always says that you need to do muraqabah 2-3 minutes before you come to do the talk. Sit in a corner and say, oh Allah, okay, yeah, please Allah, I'm doing this for you, only for you. You know, save me, protect me from shaitan. You know, make like resolve, 3 minutes, talk to yourself. To make that intention. This is what we call ikhlasun niyyah. Think to yourself, you know, the brain, bring all the intentions in the heart that I'm only doing it for your sake and not for anything else. Not for to be called a great speaker, a great orator. And this is why when this is missing, ikhlas, then a talk is done for the sake of the public. Where I will shout and where people will praise me, and yeah, and how does it sound better, and how does entertainment. This entertainment is for entertainment. وَقَدْ قِيلْ. You've got your entertainment. Entertain people. It's not for the sake of Allah. It's for the entertainment. Writer of a book. Teacher. And this is all for the ulama, for the people of ilm and knowledge. Teaching that because people will say I'm a very good teacher. MashaAllah, he teaches amazing. Trying to impress the students. These are all shaitan tactics for the teachers. And this is why we have to make our relationship with Allah very, very, very clear. You know, this ikhlas is so important. It's the first thing. If this is missing, this creates other problems. You know, all things like fighting, hatred, jealousy, all these things happen because of the absence of ikhlas. If we are doing everything for the sake of Allah, then nothing matters around who's doing what. If it's not for Allah, then, oh, his madrasa is better than my madrasa, our masjid is better than this masjid, our madrasa, oh, there you go, you know, this and this. My institute is better than your institute, and they're going to be ahead and we're behind. What is this? It should all be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who cares? Look at Darul Uloom Deoband. Today, we talk about Darul Uloom Deoband Seminary, which now has thousands, if not, I don't know how many, seminaries that have come out from there. Darul Ulooms all around the world. How did it start? There was one teacher, one student. One was called Mahmoud, the other was called Mahmoud. Under a tree. Nothing, for the sake of Allah. See, when something is done for the sake of Allah with absolute sincerity, then the results are miraculous. There was one scholar who used to be in Syria, Sheikh Abdullah Sirajuddin, you know, the one who wrote the commentary of Baykhuniyya. He used to say, from Syria, Al-ikhlas tasna'u al-ajaib. Ikhlas brings about miracles. And Imam Malik, rahimahullah, used to say, ma kana lillahi yabqa. Whatever's for Allah will remain. You know what happened in Imam Malik's time? People were writing different books called Muwatta. Someone came and said, oh, Imam Malik, everyone else is writing Muwatta. He said, whatever's for Allah will remain. And today only his Muwatta remains. So, these not having ikhlas creates problems. Competition, jealousy. It's because of the absence of ikhlas. Because everyone wants our name, my fame, my name, my popularity. People should think I am the best. People should think my madrasa is the best. People should think that I give the best talk. People should think I give the best lectures. I am the most amazing person on planet Earth. There's no amazing. We just, one moment, the soul will go, we'll die, and the people will forget we're even around. They won't even call us anymore by our name. They'll say, it. We have become it. Bring such and such person's body. There's nothing. If we really look at our reality, there's nothing. So if we make it upon ourselves that we only want to please Allah, then all the problems of planet Earth, inshallah, would be sorted. You know, there's a great scholar called Imam Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, rahimahullah. This is for the scholars to keep in mind. You know, Imam Ghazali, a famous scholar, he used to live where? He used to live in Baghdad. At the height of his popularity, he was what you call a super celebrity. And you know, in those days, people really looked up to scholars more than today. People look up to, you know, football players and things like that. They were real celebrities because everyone used to just want to be a muhaddith, and you know. And he was just not just a scholar of ilm and kalam and hadith and everything. He was even in rational sciences, intellectual sciences. You can think of the great, you know, superstar of the world. Imam Abu Hamid Hujjatul Islam. They call him Proof of Islam, Al-Ghazali. That's why his books are translated in 30, 40 different languages. Even non-Muslims have done documentaries. Go on YouTube, non-Muslims have done documentaries on Imam Al-Ghazali. Because he taught the world much. Philosophy and the correct type of philosophy, etc. You have to understand his status. He used to teach in a madrasa called Madrasa Nizamiya in Baghdad. He went through a couple of crises in his life, spiritual crises. But one of the crises was he thought to himself that, you know what, I am doing all of this for fame and name, for popularity. I think my niyyah is not correct. The people are coming from the world. They're trying to see him. People are trying to just touch him. And you know, even 1 second, Imam Al-Ghazali is coming and there's like hundreds and thousands of people are flocking and people, you know, around him. He had this spiritual crisis. He said, you know what? This is bad. This is all for dunya. This is all for people. This is not for Allah. I'm going to go and leave this place. But people wouldn't let him leave. So he said he's going for Hajj. And then, hidingly, he left. 10 years self-imposed exile in Khalwa. 10 years. No teaching, No writing, no work of deen, no da'wah, no tabliq, nothing. He went in a corner, nobody knew, like a beggar or something, and he stayed in Damascus from place to place between Palestine and, you know, because that's all Sham area. If you've been to Masjid al-Aqsa, they actually show you Imam al-Ghazali used to sit here and write his book. And then in Masjid al-Umawi in the Damascus where, you know, when I was studying in Syria, I used to always, there used to be a place Imam Ghazali used to write his, and that's where he wrote his famous Ihya ul-Ulumuddin with absolute sincerity. Became a, when you write a book with sincerity, that's what happens. Allah makes it like an amazing book. That book has been translated into, I don't know how many, 30, 40 languages. Ihya ul-Ulumuddin, reviving of the Islamic sciences. Why? Because of the sincerity that he wrote that book with. In those 10 years, He went in exile. And he says, Imam al-Ghazali, he said, "An-nasu kulluhum halka illa al-alimun." He said, all the people are destroyed except the people of knowledge. And when he says people of knowledge, meaning fard ain knowledge, because it's important everyone has to seek basic knowledge of Islam. All the people, Muslims, are destroyed, halak, except alimun, the people of ilm. Wal-alimuna kulluhum halka illa al-amilun. All the people of knowledge are all destroyed except the ones who act upon the knowledge. وَالْعَامِلُونَ كُلُّهُمْ هَلْكَ إِلَّا الْمُخْلِصُونَ. And even the ones who do actions, they are also destroyed except the ones with ikhlas. وَالْمُخْلِصُونَ عَلَىٰ خَطَرٍ عَظِيمٍ. And also these mukhlis people, they better be careful. They are on a very dangerous path as well. One shaitan attack and they're gone. The ikhlas has gone. You might just suddenly become too, you know, think to yourself, too good for your own self. So, this is why, you know, all these things, you know, like I said, Imam Ghazali took this self-imposed exile. There's been, you know, when our scholars used to do tarbiyah of great scholars who were supposed, who will then become big, this is what they went through. This is what tazkiyah and tasawuf is about, really. You know, there's Mufti Taqi Uthmani and Mufti Rafi Uthmani, there's two brothers in Pakistan, Hafidhahum Allah Ta'ala. When they were young in their 20s, mid-20s, the Sheikh of Tasawwuf, Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi Rahimahullah, banned them for 10 years from giving public lectures. This is after they became scholars. They said, it looks like that you're getting, you know, everyone's calling you, come for Jumu'ah Bayan. 10 years banned. I mean, it wasn't that he was being a dictator, no, because they had connected himself to him. They said to him, that tell us whatever. We want to become, have ikhlas. So, okay, one of the teachings is 10 years, no public. Just teach here in the madrasa, don't, nothing, no, nothing in the public. Be hidden, nobody should know who you are. This is, you know, the early training in the 20s and 30s. And then, now when they become old age, then you see the whole world, of course, because they become mukhlas. And this is what Imam Ghazali did as well. So, all these things, whether it's scholars, whether it's students, tilawat al-Qur'an, you know, people are, why are you studying Qur'an? Why are you doing hifz? Again, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why am I reciting Quran? You know, sometimes we have people reciting Quran in the masjid, the qari. Again, we don't judge anyone. But is it for entertainment? If it's for entertainment, the whole majlis is contaminated. Because the person is trying to just show off and just trying to just make some entertainment. And people are, what is this? I mean, in earlier times, no one used to have Quran recitations like this. There used to be tilawa with ikhlas, with sincerity, listen to the Quran, with khushu, khudu, contemplate the meanings. It's not an entertainment, Quran. Even the imam in salah, why are you reciting with the voice that you're reciting? Ask Allah, ask yourself, are you reciting in good voice so that people say, wow, an amazing voice? Your whole salah is gone. No benefit. We should all ask ourselves this question. Why am I reciting in salah? Because so that people praise my good voice and mashallah, amazing recitation, amazing, amazing. Do I want all the praise of the public? Nasheed as well. Nasheeds have become performances nowadays. Because it's entertainment. It's for the show and the public is there for the show. And nasheed should be, Quran should be with the intention that I'm reciting the words of Allah, ponder over them. Oh Allah, you've given me the ability to recite your, in the best of ways, you know, I want to recite it only for your sake. If it's a nasheed, oh Allah, I want to, you know, touch the hearts of the people and my own heart only for the sake of Allah. Ikhlas, sincerity. Whether you're an imam of a masjid, even if you're a head of an organization, Islamic organizations, you know, heads of Islamic organizations. Today we have a lot of problems, you know, a lot of politics, people say. Because everyone has an ego. Everyone has an ego. And ego comes because of insincerity. Everyone wants to be the boss. When everyone wants to be a boss, there's going to be quarrels, there's going to be a fight. Whether it's mosques, whether it's Islamic institutions, different organizations across the country, across the world. I'm not talking about a particular city. I'm saying generally. Problems in masajid. The head of the committee sometimes, he wants to be the boss. Is his intention sincere that I am doing khidmah of the masjid for the sake of Allah? Is it really for Allah? Or is it to serve my own ego so that I am the boss and people say, yeah, you're the boss? Whether it's an imam, whoever it is, it's for everyone. This is why Imam al-Bukhari started this hadith. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. He started this book. Everything depends on this. There are good examples, like I said, Darul Umdeoban as well. Lastly in this, spending in the path of Allah. Like I said, some scholars said that one of the most areas where shaitan attacks is when those people who spend in the path of Allah, who do public welfare projects, people who give in charity. And the hadith said, the generous person said, oh Allah, I gave so much money in Islam, in this charity and that charity, and I gave to this charity and gave to that charity. I spent so much money in the path of Allah. Allah put him in the hellfire. You only did that so that people say, MashaAllah, very generous. Even going for Hajj, if someone did it for the sake that, you know what, people call me Haji Sahab. Again, there's no reward. Sometimes going for Umrah and Hajj is also is for show. Like I said, we don't judge anyone. We're asking ourselves the questions, not anyone else. Each person has to ask themselves the question. And then, personal ibadah, prayer, salah. It's so important that we make our salah for the sake of Allah. Our fasting, our zakat, our hajj. This is why, you know, an intention correcting is right in the beginning. And we need to every time renew the intention in the beginning. So if we're praying dhuhr today here, why am I praying? Why am I praying? It has to be only for the sake of Allah, not because what people will say. Have you gone to the masjid? Have you prayed? Not for the family. Only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why, you know, the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Man salla yura'i faqad ashraka billah. Whoever prays salah to show off, he has committed shirk with Allah. Shirk, imagine. Because salah has to only be for who? Allah. But I am praying for Allah as well as other people. There's one point here that is important to keep in mind, that this niyyah, ikhlasu niyyah, is at the beginning of every action. What was the main muharrik, or the main instigator, the main reason, the main reason why someone did this? So at the beginning of salah, before fasting, at the beginning of fasting, once a person brings in their mind and they make the intention clear in their mind and their heart and they talk to Allah, I'm doing this for Allah. Then afterwards, shaitan will come during the act with wasawis. You're not doing it for Allah. You're not doing it for Allah. Don't worry about that. It doesn't do anything. So, for example, if somebody made an intention that I am only praying for Allah and you start it, and in the second rak'ah, shaitan's coming. Oh, yeah, people are watching you. People are watching you. Don't worry at all. Just don't even think about it. Doesn't do anything. Yes, if someone changes an action because of people, then that's a problem. So I was praying and then, you know, 3-4 people walked in the masjid and then, now I'm going to start praying better. Now that better has started with a bad intention. Now it's not for Allah. But if I continued praying as I was praying without changing anything, then it doesn't really matter. So consideration is at the beginning. And you don't need to keep on renewing the intention. Our public salah and private salah should be the same. How do we pray when we're praying alone and praying in front of people? That's the real test. Do we pray in the bedroom just by yourself? Is it the same as we pray here in the masjid with 100 people watching us? So whether it's salah, whether it's hajj, like I said, why is a person going for hajj? So that liyuqalu hajisab, so that he's called a hajisab. Like I said, this sometimes becomes a show that, oh, alhamdulillah, I go umrah every year, alhamdulillah, I go hajj every year. Just keep it hidden between you and Allah, no one needs to know. Anything that's kept hidden between you and Allah, it's the best, it's the most sincere. Sometimes, you know, some people, even when they connect with religious, pious people, sorry for saying this, but sometimes, again, not judging anybody, asking our own selves the questions. Khidmah of pious people. Why? Is it for Allah? Allah says, love for the sake of Allah, love pious people, khidmah of pious people, or is it for show off? The intention should be for the sake of Allah, so that I benefit, staying in His company, I benefit. Allah, give me something, I might benefit from His knowledge. But a lot of times what happens across the world is people like to connect to certain scholars so that, you know, they get, because he's popular, you get popular as well. You know, he sits in my car and, you know, I take him. You have an ego in the head as well. Massive problem. So this is, again, is it for bragging? Is it for showing off? What's the motive? Being connected to somebody of deen and Islam. So, and then there's one or two other things. These are also connected to deen. We don't realize it's deen. Before I get to the last bit, which is just a brief, I'm going to finish in the next 10-15 minutes. I know I'm boring you. Hopefully not. Iyadatul marid. Why do we go and visit an ill, sick person? Remember, ikhlas, sincerity, is not just wanting the praise of the people. It's also wanting to save yourself from criticism. Can I repeat that again? Ikhlas is what? Not wanting the praise of the people, and also not to want to save yourself from criticism. Do you understand the difference between the two? One is that if I do this, people will say, mashallah, mashallah, amazing. The other is, like, if I don't do it, what will people say? People say, you're like this, and you don't do this, and you don't go for, you haven't gone for janazah, you haven't done this. You know, people will say bad things. That's also part of the not wanting praise. Basically, we just don't care about the makhluq. That's why Mulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi, rahimahullah, used to say that, alhamdulillah, I've reached a level now that someone who praises me, someone criticizes me, is exactly the equal. It doesn't change one bit in my heart. And some of the early scholars say this as well. That what is the definition of ikhlas? Where criticism and praise absolutely doesn't make a difference. It's as though you've become a different type of human. This actually makes you human. The rest are all animalistic traits. That's why jealousy, hatred, competition, these are animals. We share all these things with animals. Allah made us with all these animalistic traits. Two people, there's two businesses are fighting about something. Yeah? We think, oh yeah, we're humans, oh, we're fighting. Oh, it's exactly the animal. We just do it in a different way. We're doing it in a business. They do it on a piece of bread in a pond in Abbey Park. You go and throw a piece of bread and all the swans, they will fight. And, oh, you go, you know, like they won't let the other one eat. We're fighting about money. We just do it a bit more professionally. And when the going gets tough, we do it unprofessionally as well. When the COVID came, we go and run and pull what? Those toilet rolls and all sorts of things, and people go crazy. Because the real animalistic traits come out. We are born with jealousy, competition, hatred, you know, just me, myself, I, show off, I should be. We're born with all these things. And that's why Islam came with teachings to make us humans, move us from being animals. This is what this deen is about, become human beings. Remove the animalistic traits and become a human. A wali of Allah is a human. Once you become human, you've become a wali of Allah. So, visiting the sick, it's part of deen. Now, this is why do you, if someone says, you know, if I don't go to visit him at the hospital, he'll take it bad. People will take it bad. People will say, you didn't even go. There's no reward. It's sinful because it's connected to deen. These are all, it's a sunnah. The hadith says, إِذَا الْمُسْلِمُ إِذَا عَادَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمُ لَمْ يَزَلْ فِي خُرَفِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى يَرْجِعُ. Whoever visits a person ill or sick, you remain in the gardens of paradise. There's angels make dua of mercy. These are the things we make, should make intention in the mind. I'm doing it for the sake of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, I'll get reward. And you know, there's another thing there as well, that we do it only for the sake of Allah, but part of it as well, a second level, is we want to make, sometimes, this is very important, we want to make, bring happiness to the creation of Allah, but for the sake of Allah. It's not for praise. You want to bring happiness. Look, if I give you a nice something, hadiah, it's only for Allah, but I want you to be happy as well. But not for the praise. There's a difference. Bringing happiness to a fellow Muslim, brother, sister, doing something good for them, not for a praise, not so that, but to bring happiness to them, because Allah has said bring happiness. So you visit a sick person, ill person, he'll become happy. Why do you attend a janazah? Brothers and sisters, inshallah, there'll be janazah today. Why have you attended a janazah prayer? Why are we going to the graveyard? If the intention is that if I don't go, what will people say? There's no reward whatsoever. It's sinful. It's haram. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala, once didn't go for janazah. You know, there's a big scholar in his time called Bishr Hafi. He passed away. Everyone's going, you know, thousands of people. Somebody came to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He said, oh, Imam, you coming? He said, no, I can't. He said, why? Everyone, people are coming from all over, like everywhere, Baghdad and Kufa and Basra. People are flocking. People, he said, I can't come. So one of his students asked him afterwards, he said, everyone is going, why can't you go for the janazah? He said, lam tahdurni an-niyya. I can't, the niyya is not coming in my mind. Until the niyya is people, you know, the niyya in my mind is that if I don't go, if I go or don't go, it's about the makhluq. If I go, people say, yeah, Imam Ahmed came. Or like if I don't go, then people will, they will say, oh, this big imam passed away and this another imam didn't come to his janazah. These thoughts are coming in my mind. So if I go, I'll get sin. There's no reward. So until I don't, if I'm able to, how long is it for janazah? If I'm able to sort out my niyyah problems, then before then I'll come. Otherwise, I'm not going to go. Subhanallah. Just amazing how these people were. So whether it's janazah, whatever it is, you know, all of this should be ikhlas. And then lastly, and also, yeah, part of this, again, people don't think this is deen. Nikah walima, it's Islam. Nikah is a sunnah. And I talked about this quite a lot before as well, that in nikah, marriage is a sunnah. Why is a person getting married? Why are you doing a walima? Is it for the sake of Allah? Nikah is a sunnah. Walima is a sunnah. Invite people for the sake of Allah. If you are having massive wedding ceremonies, big, big walimas for name, for fame, for images, for people to say, wow, amazing. There's no reward, there's sin. That's why there's a hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that walima one day is haq, and then it's after that it becomes sum'ah and showing off, and there's no reward. And you know, the point is, brothers and sisters, honestly, these things bring anxiety and stress into our lives. People are getting married, but there's, you know, will this be okay or that hole be okay? And I have to call this person and that person, and there's misery and there's stress and family conflicts and people are fighting and people are arguing and debates going on. Just do it for the sake of Allah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yes, I'm getting married. Walima is whoever's got anything, come back, come bring everything where you got, bring bread. Let's sit down, let's eat. Alhamdulillah, for the sake of Allah. Finish. Khalas. Simple. The amount of money we spend on others, for image. I said to some people, I said that people are complaining about financial issues in life. Things are very, very difficult. Diesel is $1.99 and petrol is very, very expensive. If we stop spending money on those things that are just for other people, show off. Just cut off that. Just spend money on what you need. You want to eat food? It's your benefit. It's going in your stomach. You want to go somewhere? Spend on only. Don't spend on anything which is for other people. Don't kit up your car. Because what's that going to do to you? It's just other people. You can't. You know, people like to do their car outside. I say, it's weird. It's crazy. It's like you're sitting inside. You can't even see it. People outside are benefiting, enjoying nice car. What's happening to you? Nothing. You're not even enjoying your own car from outside. And I still haven't, I'm not saying it's haram or sinful, there's no fatwa, but I still haven't understood private number plates till today. £10,000. Like, why would you spend something? Like, is it, do you forget where your car is, you're going to miss it, so like put a private one, that's my car here. You're going to lose it or something. I've still not understood. I'm not saying it's haram fatwa. I was once going to write a fatwa on it, which make it makruh at least or something, but then I just thought, leave it. There's too many, I don't know. But I don't get it. What is the intention behind it? Why do you buy a house? Why do you buy a car? Is it for showing off? Spend money what's good for you, for your own heart. For your own, honestly, it'll bring peace in your life. Marriages, keep them simple. If you've got money, alhamdulillah, you can spend. But do it only what's peaceful, what's easy, what's convenient, for your own self, for the sake of Allah. Forget everybody else. The greater the walima you do, brothers and sisters, nobody, you know, this is again about this old praise, and this is not just in the walima, but generally, why is this? What does praise do? If we're doing things for the sake of the public, for praise, for people, you know, telling us, wow, mashallah, amazing, this, what does it do? Like, what does it do? Does it give you £5 billion? Someone's praising you, say, you're enjoying it, mashallah. I finished a talk here right now, and then somebody came and said to him, mashallah, it's a great talk, okay. He went into my ear, I enjoyed it, okay. Now what? It's gone in the hawa, in the air, finished. I probably go to him after 2 hours, can you repeat, maybe, please? What did you say? Every day, can you repeat? Yes, I'm a great person, can you please repeat? Just keep on benefiting, enjoy the, mashallah, amazing, amazing. Just tell him to, maybe just record it and just keep on listening. You're amazing. Like, what does he do? And the praise is not, you know, honestly, when people praise, it's their brain and their mouth. Neither is their brain in our control, neither is their mouth in our control. We do something, you might praise me and you might criticize me for the same thing I've done. Your brain is different to your brain. Allah's. So people's brains doesn't matter. What they say doesn't make a difference. What does it do? It doesn't do anything. If you praise me and suddenly as soon as you praise me, I get £1 billion here, then yeah, then praise me. Suddenly everything, mashallah, amazing, £100. Then okay, it makes sense. But logically as well. And today in social media, it's become a disease, illness. The whole social media, the way it's made, is for validation, attention, seeking attention. Everyone's like, every time someone likes, you feel. And this gives mental health issues. That's why there's so many people are depressed through social media. Because they live on this artificial validation. You want validity, you want people to keep on saying, our sisters, you know, they want to just, you know, look a certain way. Yeah, you're amazing, you're very beautiful, you're beautiful. Oh, mashallah, mashallah, oh, amazing, amazing. I don't know what's happening to them. It doesn't matter whether people say or not. Forget everybody. Your husband should say you're amazing and that's it, finish. But they go and put their pictures up so that they keep on hearing this. And the moment someone doesn't say it, depression, mental health. There's people who've committed suicide because they stopped getting the limelight. Because you're going to get old. You'll be 60, then you'll have wrinkles. Then who's going to say, mashallah, amazing, amazing? There's a brother who actually committed suicide in some other country recently because he wasn't getting the limelight. There's football players who used to be in their 20s, 30s, where all the money and fame and popularity, and then they get old and get a bit fat, and nobody really even, like, the younger generation don't even remember who you were. They go into alcohol, and it goes. Their mind goes. Depression. This is what fame does. Because it'll never last forever. So even from a logical perspective, from an aqal, from a wisdom, from a perspective, it just doesn't make sense. So like I was saying, this nikah and walima as well. I remember once said this, that we spend so much money on walima. One brother said, you know what, I'm going to keep a small walima here. 10 people at home will eat. And the rest of the money, I'm going to feed family where? In Africa. We throw food away. Just send money and in Sudan, Somalia, mashallah, whole family will eat food. It's for the sake of Allah. And like, you know, people are not going to praise you. You know, you can make the best walima in the best hall. The best cards, beautiful. People look at it in the bin. It's gone, in the bin. What's happened? You spent money, they'll come out of the walima and then they'll do a big burp and they'll just take a cigarette. Salt, there's too much. Was it okay? What do you think? All right. And they give that small thing. All right. Okay. Then they're going home and toilet and gone. Khalas. All your food is gone. All the money you spent, gone. Nobody's going to write a book on your walima. They're not going to go home and mashallah, now the great, amazing walima wedding of brother such and such and sister such and such. Let's write a book and let's publish it. And every day on BBC News, no one's going to talk about your walima. Millions of people marry and millions of people die. You're not the only person you're marrying. You're not the only one who's got a child. You're not the only one graduating today. Everyone lives in their own bubble. They think this is everything. There's billions of people. There's people on the planet somewhere else right now that don't even know what Khatam Bukhari is. So we live in a small bubble and we think that this is everything. We need to bring back our reality before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So social media, and yes, even hadiyah is also ibadah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give a hadiyah, you will increase in love. Why do we give a hadiyah? This is to give a gift to someone so that they give you a gift back. It's haram. The Quran calls this riba. وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِبًا لِيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ In Surah Al-Mudathir, Allah says, وَلَا تَمْنُن تَسْتَكْثِرْ Don't do a favor so that you want more favor. Why do we call people? People have a list. They called us for the wedding, so we have to call them. We have to call them. That's it. When you say you have to call them, it's not for the sake of Allah. When you call someone for food, the Quran says, when pious people call, invite people for food at home, they say, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ We feed you for the sake of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا We don't want no thank you and nothing from you. Now, when we're not doing for Allah, then we want something. Say, at least say thank you to me. I did this. Don't worry. No. I didn't expect anything. I did it for Allah. If you ate all my food and didn't even say Jazakallah, no problem. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect me. I did it for Allah. Silatul Rahim, the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِي The one who maintained ties because others maintain ties with you, you're just doing a return. That's not real maintaining of ties. You're good to me, I'll be good to you. If you're bad to me, then I'll be bad to you. That's not real maintaining of ties. Real maintainer of ties is الَّذِي إِذَا قُتِيَ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا When people cut him off, he still maintains ties for the sake of Allah. We live in this transaction business. You scratch my back, I scratch your back. You smile at me, I smile at you. You don't smile at me, I won't smile at you. You be good to me, I'll be good to you. This is all transactions we live in. Even hadiyah giving. You know, sometimes you don't really want to give a hadiyah, but why do you give it? If I don't give it, what? They'll take it bad. The moment we say they will take it bad, it's sinful. There's no reward. Like I said, praise or not wanting criticism. You know when sometimes some guests come and you say, why have they come for? I have to feed them. Who's telling you to feed them? Women especially. You got stress and pressure and I have to give them food. There's no reward. You're committing haram. Feed them if you want to for the sake of Allah. If not, sorry, I can't feed you. You can have khajur dates and alhamdulillah, I still love you. Forget all these formalities. This is why we have problems in our societies, our minds, our societies, our families. There's all these issues because we have too much of these customs. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to live a very straightforward, very clean, straightforward life. You go to someone's house, can I come? No, sorry, I'm busy. Okay, no problem, straightforward. Saraha. The Quran says, you know, you go to someone's house and say, وَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمْ أَرْجِعُوا فَرْجِعُوا Straightforward, simple, all these rules bring about peace and tranquility as well into our lives. Good akhlaq as well is for Allah's sake. You smile at someone, not, it shouldn't be a business smile. There's a difference between a real ikhlas smile and a business smile. Business smile is you want something. You smile for Allah's sake, then that's from the heart. You're charitable, you do good akhlaq, good character, be nice to people for the sake of Allah. Everything should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, these are all the connected to deen. I don't know how long I've been talking, but just right at the end, one point. What's happening after my talk? Just Nasheed. Yeah. This ikhlas, I said right at the beginning, remember, ibadah and? What was the second thing? It's been a long time. Aada. Now here, this is just 5 minutes on this. All this sincerity was to do with all Islamic matters. Now, aada is not Islamic matters. Daily worldly activities. Eating, drinking, sleeping, walking, doing business, going to work, job. They're not Islamic acts. Aada. Mubah, permissible acts. What ikhlas and what this intention does, innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, means that all these so-called worldly activities, if they are done with a good intention, then they become an act of ibadah. You are rewarded. And if you don't make a right intention, there's no sin. Here, there's no sin. Someone can just go to sleep with no intention. You've slept, no problem. There's no sin. You're eating food without any intention, there's no sin. But if someone sleeps, oh Allah, I'm sleeping because you said, inna li jasadika alayka haq, your body has a right over you, give me energy, and then inshallah, with this energy, I'll wake up for Fajr Salah, and then I'll do this and do that. That 6 hours of sleeping becomes ibadah. Someone eats. One is you just go and eat, thinking, not knowing anything, to do everything, bones and everything, finish. You know, there were some scholars, they said, we've never eaten in our life for pleasure. And even some health people say this. We don't eat for pleasure. We only eat for the sake of eating. We don't live for eating. We eat to live. There's a difference. And we only eat because Allah said eat. Because if you don't eat, it's sinful. And they make the intention, oh Allah, I'm eating because you said, inna li jasadika alayka haq. Your body has a right over you. I have to give nourishment to my body. I'll get the energy. I'll offer salah. I'll do good things. Every worldly act, you're going to business, everyday job as well. Oh Allah, you have said, earning kasbul halali faridatun ba'd al farida, earning a livelihood, halal livelihood, is one of the obligations. This is a responsibility I have to provide for myself, for my family. Make that intention your whole day, niyyah, at job, at workplace, at the factory or whatever office, becomes ibadah. Even students studying non-Islamic studies, you're studying medicine, oh Allah, I'm studying medicine so that, inshallah, I can serve the community, the public, I can help people. Any secular science as well, if you study with the right intention, everything is rewarded. And this is the other aspect of innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. Buying, selling, business, studying, eating, drinking, whatever. And this is the meaning of inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. You know, at the time of Qurbani, we should read this dua. A lot of people don't know. We say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, but this dua, this is in the Quran. Inna salati, indeed my salah, wa nusuki, and my udhiya qurbani. One of the main meanings is my ritual slaughter, my qurbani. And it also includes all ibadah. وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ My living and death, everything, A to Z, morning till night, everything is for Allah. I smile for Allah. I sleep for the sake of Allah. I talk to someone for the sake of Allah. I am nice to my husband, wife, for the sake of Allah. To my children, for the sake of Allah. I walk somewhere, for the sake of Allah. I'm buying something, for the sake of Allah. Everything. Whether it's Islamic activities or dunyawi activities. But that requires training, that every time before you do an action, you have to think, oh Allah, I am doing this for you, for the sake of Allah. This is this intention I'm keeping. Then it becomes ibadah. And some scholars used to say that if it's very difficult to do that for every action you do, then at least once in the morning after Fajr Salah, make like a general intention for the whole days. So after Fajr, say, oh Allah, today I'm planning to do such, such, such. I'm going to my workplace, I might buy, I might sell, I'm going to the office, I'm going to do this job, that job, maybe going to see someone. I'm making an intention from now that this, for your sake, for this, not for anything else. One general intention in the morning, inshallah, should work for the rest of the day. But if you do it each time, it's better. Even friendship should be for the sake of Allah. مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ Whoever loves for the sake of Allah, dislikes for the sake of Allah. وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ Everything. Even friendship. Why do you wear a watch? Make an intention. I wear a watch so that Salah time I can find. every time you're wearing a watch, you get a reward. 24/7 reward for wearing a watch. These are all worldly activities. Actually, Mufti Taqi Uthmani Hafizullah says that his father, when he went for Hajj, he was 10 years old. He came back and he brought him a watch. And he says, I brought this watch for you so that you follow Salah prayer times. You wear a watch with that intention, wearing a watch is an act of reward. Every worldly activity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Jazakallah. Sorry for taking too much time, and I don't know how long I talked for, but Allah, give me the ability first and foremost to act upon whatever I said, and then all of you as well, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum.